the Sunday Morning Tech Correspondent is joining us to discuss cryptocurrencies, NFTs. Not everyone's caught up yet with NFTs yet or wants to, but they seem to be here to stay. Bizarrely, making Twitter a nicer place and what you should be aware of on your iPhone now if you have one. Helen Baxter from Mohawk Media. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
Elon Musk talks up cryptocurrencies and then talks them down. And a cynic might say he's talking them down to buy them up. I heard someone say that because he would have known for a long time about how much energy is required for crypto mining. What's your take on the state of play here?
Well, the two points as well on this is he's not selling his current Bitcoin stash, of which he has a lot, I think it's something like $1.5 billion. And he still believes that cryptocurrency has a promising future. However, if you think about it, it's not really great optics to be selling electric cars, to be really involved in forward-thinking technology, and then be accepting payment for your electric cars in a currency that has environmental impact. So I kind of think it's potentially him getting ahead of his investors. Yeah, I think it's more around the fact that you can't really be pushing new technology, electric, the future, and then be taking payments in something that actually isn't necessarily environmentally sound.
Okay. And we can maybe do crypto in a separate chat another time. But I noticed just briefly, we have stable crypto, I was reading, that won't wildly fluctuate, and green crypto that won't require such huge energy to mine. So is it here to stay? Because we still have economic commentators, and I notice people like Warren Buffett calling it funny. Well, he didn't say funny money, or his partner didn't, but essentially that's the accusation, backed by nothing tangible. And you and I, in theory, can invent a cryptocurrency, can't we? Just as we can print our own money. but only one of those is legal. So it's a strange world.
Well, it's, you know, I'll quote Elon Musk. Cryptocurrency is promising, but please invest with caution. It should be considered speculation at this point. I think the technology is interesting. I see a lot of benefits and a lot of future opportunities for the cryptocurrency blockchain. With the currency, it's still too early to tell. Unlike the recent, the big crash recently, I think there's been a 30% crash over the last few days, is actually down to China. The Chinese regulators of the central bank have actually announced that they're going to ban banks and payment firms from using cryptocurrencies. So you can see that it's really down to how governments and central banks are going to accept it. But I have noticed around New Zealand, I think we were in Taupo recently, and there was a restaurant there that said, we accept bitcoins. But I would say it's probably best to hang on to your bitcoins if you do have any, because really it's a long haul thing.
Okay, that'll do us for now. The talk about online privacy from Apple, Helen, lately, and you see a bit of hypocrisy here?
Well, big tech, there's always going to be two sides to the coin. Apple's new operating system, which is iOS 14.5, so that would be on your iPhones or iPads, forces apps to ask permission if they want to track you. So this is to get developers to get your permission before tracking your activity across other companies' apps and websites. As we know, the tracking apps, which has hit Facebook's business model, which is all about selling user data. You still get as many ads, but they won't be as targeted. So if you want to check your system settings, you know, you need to make sure that you're running iOS 14.5 and above. Go into your settings, general about, see what version you've got. If it's older than that, update it. Go in and then check settings, privacy and tracking. And you can basically go through the list of features that apps have requested access to, like your contacts and your photos. So as with anything, you need to take control of your privacy settings and check to see how they're set up and manage them. Don't just assume that your privacy is being managed for you. So that's good. I actually see that as a really healthy thing. Obviously, Apple are doing this because they want more people to buy their devices. Because let's remember, they're a hardware company. They're all about selling the black mirrors, as it were, the screens. But they do a lot of deals with these companies, what Cook has called surveillance capitalism. So, you know, not holding anything back there. they do a lot of deals. Like, for example, Safari, the web browser that comes with every iPhone, is set up default to route your web searches through Google. And they have paid a lot of money, something like $12 billion this year, for that privilege. So, you know, that they are, in some ways, they are making some good positive steps forward for privacy. But on the flip side, they are still very much intertwined and enmeshed with the companies that are sucking all your user data. And another device which has just been launched is the Apple AirTags. Great idea. Small keyring sized trackers. You put them on your stuff and then you can use the Find My app service on your phone to basically track where it is. So, for example, if you're in an airport or you want to know where your dog's gone, for example. But there's been a couple of stories, one from Wired and one from Washington Post recently, flagging the fact that these things have the potential to be used for stalking. So the Washington Post article, one of the journalists, with permission, got his colleague to slip one of these into his backpack and then just basically tested how much his colleague could track him. And it was really quite interesting. Now, they do have functionality to prevent this. So if you do have one of these, let's say, placed on you, after 3 days, if it's not checked in with the device that it's connected to, it will actually beep. It'll make a noise to say, hey, there's a thing here and, you know, it's not connected to your stuff. Do you know it's here? But yeah, it's not ideal. So I think it's just, you know, it's like anything with technology. The technology isn't good, isn't bad. It's how people use it. But at least Apple are attempting to prevent unwarranted use of these things. And some of the alternative trackers, like the Tiles, which have been on sale for a few years, don't do anything to protect your privacy. I think they're a great idea. No more Where's My Keys?
No, but 3 days is a long time, isn't it?
It is. Tons it is, absolutely. Yeah.
We've discussed NFTs, these non-fungible tokens, this very strange investment market. And what's Web... God help me that I have to define it all again, but I have trouble getting my head around it. But what is Webster's Dictionary doing now?
I think this is great. This is where things are getting quite meta. So Merriam-Webster, the dictionary company, is selling the definition of an NFT, a non-fungible token, as an NFT. Because obviously they own the intellectual property of the definition in their dictionary. However, they are actually giving the proceeds to a charity called Teach for All, which is an international network for improving and expanding access to education. And what NFTs do is they allow you to buy and sell ownership of unique digital items, and the ownership record is kept, the track of it is kept on the blockchain. But they're not tangible items. So another story that's come out, Fox, the animation department, is making a blockchain animated series set in mythical ancient Greece, which obviously trips my interest, centred on a flawed family of humans, gods and monsters that tries to run one of the world's first cities without killing each other. So fun idea. But what they're doing is they're launching a dedicated marketplace for Crapopolis, which is the show name. And what they want to do is curate and sell digital goods as NFT. So it could be one-of-a-kind characters, background art. But, you know, my question here is, you can't put them on a shelf and you can't play with them.
No. So you're watching TV and someone's trying to sell you a piece of code.
Pretty much. And all you have are bragging rights that you own this thing. But the other NFT story that popped up this week, which I think is quite fun, is, do you remember the Charlie Bit My Finger video?
That was a famous video,
Absolutely.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. It was about 10 years ago now, with the little boy whose little brother bit his finger, and the reaction. And I think it was filmed to send to the grandparent, and it just blew up out of nowhere. And to date, it's one of the most watched YouTube clips of all time. This video with YouTube ad sales has made to date about $100,000, but they're now looking to sell ownership of the Charlie Bit My Finger video as an NFT. So they're going to auction it and then they're going to remove it from YouTube, and whoever wins the auction will technically own it. But I have seen reports of saying that they're deleting it from the internet, and frankly, that's not possible. You can take something down from YouTube, but you can never delete things from the internet.
So why would you want to buy it? I know it's a head scratcher for me with all these things.
I have to agree, but I can see from the perspective of the family and the two boys, this is a potential future nest egg. They're 15 Absolutely. And 17 now. They may make a load of money that may set them up for life. So watch the space again, the empty space.
Just quickly, the Twitter tip jar before we leave you.
Yes, so Twitter has just rolled out a new tip jar for some content providers. It allows you to pay people for good tweets. So right now it's only available to a limited group of people like journalists, creators, experts and non-profits. If you like someone's tweet, you can actually send them, in effect, a micropayment. So, yeah, we'll see how this one rolls out. And it's anything that allows content creators to earn income, I think, is a good thing. Though I was talking to a bright young thing the other day, and they pointed out that, you know, from their perspective of being early 20s, the only people on Twitter anymore are, I think she said, politicians, journalists and the professionally outraged.
Angry people.
Yes.
There's a grain of truth in that. So, yeah, whether you want to subsidise the lifestyles is up to you, but it's an interesting development.
Absolutely. Any way that you can reward good content, I'm all for.
Helen Baxter, always lovely to talk. Thank you so much.
Thank you.